today we are here in the Village of Scotia with Justin Cook and Kimmy Talbot of Fresh Table Community Pantry. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. So first, tell us a little bit about Fresh Table, maybe how you got started.
Well, so it was kind of funny. So back in 2020, when we were doing the drive-through pantries, we, Justin and I worked together through our service organizations to bring it to our communities. And we had this dream, like, what if we could have this like pop-up pantry one day where people could just come, it looked like a farmer's market. And it was just like a whim of a dream that we kind of chatted about. And then the regional food bank reached out and said, hey, this is going on in your community. We heard that you're movers and shakers. And so Justin called me and said, hey, I got the opportunity. So we pitched it to the regional food bank and they absolutely fell in love with the idea and they piloted us. And we've been running for how many years?
We're in our third year now.
And this was during COVID.
And this was during COVID, yeah. So our you know, the first drive-through food pantry we had over 400 cars and we had traffic backed up to SUNY Schenectady. And it was kind of startling in many ways because when you think about Scotia Glenville, the suburbs, the areas around the cities, you know, oftentimes, you know, food security isn't something that comes to mind. You know, food insecurity oftentimes does hide well behind shrubs and in backyards and fences. So that was kind of a little bit of an eye-opening experience, I think, for the entire community. So when we realized that Scotia Glenville was actually considered a food pantry desert, and the regional food bank really kind of reached out and, you know, was asking us, you know, hey, we know you did the drive-through food pantries. What could we do to expand it? I remember, I think the words I said to you were, I have a crazy idea. And this crazy idea kind of sprouted into what we see here today. The first meeting with the regional food bank was in February. And by May of 2022, we were up and running with our first Fresh Table.
And it was great. It was a lot of collaboration. We worked with our community. We had a lot of our stakeholders at the table. And we really kind of just talked about ideas and what would work and what wouldn't work. So the pilot, the first month, though, it was a hit. Like, we rocked it the first month, and we've been going strong ever since.
Growing.
And we're growing every month. And, you know, when you live in a community like ours, it is very community-based. So, and neighbors care about neighbors. So the word came out, and here we are, you know, crazy, crazy times.
So who can participate? Who can come to here once a month and pick up food?
Anybody?
Yeah, so we like to say we're an open table. We're an open table with compassionate volunteers that are eager to help. So we're open to anybody who needs a little help until payday. You know, one of the things early on in our experience, we said, why are we here? What's our purpose? And we're like, you know what? We're really here to bridge paychecks to plates. That, you know, we all get to that point in time where, you know, payday is still a week away and you find yourself struggling to get by. And what's the first thing families oftentimes cut? Their food budget. So instead of getting this, they get that. And the that isn't oftentimes the most healthiest to have. So reason why even going back, every aspect of this was intentional to make it accessible to everybody.
And we wanted to make sure that it was accessible to literally everybody. So we do keep things kosher and halal because we don't want to exclude anybody. You know, a lot of times when you go to a food pantry, you get a box, you don't get to choose, and they might have pork in there. And if you're kosher, the whole box is ruined, you can't eat it. So that was one of the things that we wanted to make sure that it was accessible to every single person that comes through.
What about the communities you serve? Is it just this immediate area? Do people come out from outside the area?
So we serve primarily 60% of folks who use the Fresh Table every month do come from 12302, which is Scotia Glenville. However, we are seeing a growing number of people from neighboring communities. Our neighbors over in the town of Rotterdam, as well as Mount Pleasant, which is the neighborhood of Schenectady that borders Rotterdam, are also, just like Scotia Glenville, are considered food pantry deserts. So we are noticing, you know, folks coming from outside of Scotia Glenville to come get help. We've had folks come as far as Schoharie County, Colony, Saratoga, Southern Saratoga County. So folks come to us oftentimes because they either don't have a food pantry in their community or the food pantry they have isn't providing them the fresh fruit, vegetables, dairy products, and meats that we provide.
And sometimes they don't qualify for some of the pantries too, which is a big thing that we hear, you know, we come to you because you guys are so friendly, you're so open, you're so kind, and we could get a little assistance. So, which is a big part of the community and what we're all about. So that's kind of nice to see, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, eliminating barriers and smashing stigma, I think is kind of like the real two big indicators on why we wanted to do this and why we've created the Fresh Table as a farmer's market rather than as a food pantry. Because at the end of the day, you have a substantial number of people who are employed, don't make enough money to make ends meet, but they make just enough to not qualify for traditional nutrition programs and government assistance. So they need somewhere to turn. They need some place to go to get the food that they may have cut out of their budget or be able to get help with food so that they can pay a bill. No one should ever have to choose between paying a bill and putting fresh food on their table.
And yet a lot of people do have to make that choice. So you mentioned, Kimmy, earlier that, you know, typically you're just going to pick up a box. You know, this is not about that. This is just something completely different where you're not just handed a cardboard box that's already pre-filled for you. You're actually able to pick your healthy, you know, whether that be meats or veggies. So is this by design that it's more like
a
farmer's market?
So when we were doing the food drives during COVID, a lot of times our elderly, like if they're on a medication or anybody who's on a medication can't have grapefruit. Or again, it's not kosher, or there's food in there they're just not going to eat. That food gets wasted. It gets put aside or thrown away, and it's not really serving the purpose that we intended. So when we sat down and talked about it, we said, you know, we really want to have people have dignity. We want them to keep their respect. We want them to choose what they're going to actually eat, because that's important, because it's just going to get thrown aside where somebody else might actually eat it. So that was completely my design when we sat down and just decided to do this, that some people aren't going to eat certain foods, some people can't eat certain foods, and who am I to say this is what you're going to eat this week? You know, I wouldn't want that done to me. We want them to have the opportunity to shop on their own.
And, you know, as we've gotten more and more involved within the food pantry community, we are noticing that a lot more food pantries are operating like us as a full choice pantry in a way that's culturally and religiously appropriate and respectful.
And some of them are using order forms. You can order what you're going to get that week. So I think that we're kind of breaking those barriers and those ideas, but it all really came from handing people a box of food during COVID.
So you're a role model.
I'd like to think we are, but I also know that, you know, while our idea may seem different, you know, I'm sure we're not the only ones trying to do this, because at the end of the day, when you see a need in your community and you try to find a way to fulfill the need, and when you're truly engaged in your community, listening to your community, understanding your community, you know, a novel idea becomes best practice. And I think that's what we are starting to see. And the pandemic, you know, if anything positive came out of the pandemic, it was the connection that I think people ended up feeling towards one another in the early parts of the pandemic. And then also the awareness and the need to help neighbors, where neighbors helping neighbors have become something where I've seen a little bit of a resurgence. And I think we at the Fresh Table have kind of benefited from that in terms of the volunteers who show up every month with a smile on their face, ready to help somebody.
Even in the heat, right?
Even in
so hot today. And our volunteers were here early, they were ready to roll, but they love doing it. And I mean, our volunteers are really, it's an array of ages. I mean, we've got youth that are coming in, they're not just here to get their hours in for National Honor Society or anything like that. They're really here to volunteer. And so, which is nice to see. And a lot of our older generation comes through and they say, you know what? I can't lift the boxes, but let me do intake for you. Let me bag stuff for you. Let me hand out this to say hello or give books or whatever. So
it's strictly volunteers.
Yes. It's our community that's come out to help us. It's really everybody in our community.
And it sounds like you have volunteers of all ages.
Yeah. So that's something we're really proud of. You know, we started back May 2022. We had just as many youth volunteers as we had adult volunteers. Mm-hmm. And it was inspiring to see that. But I also think it allowed the youth volunteers to begin to connect more with, you know, the importance of food security, and to kind of take up as a mission in their life, you know, the reality that there is plenty of food to share, and, you know, that we have a responsibility to build more food secure homes and neighborhoods. And, you know, our to see also the intergenerational mix, to see a 15-year-old working alongside, you know, a senior, it's really inspiring. And they learn from each other while they're doing it. And the connection that you oftentimes see with our volunteers and our neighbors. So another deliberate thing we do at the Fresh Table is the folks who come here, they're our neighbors. They're not our clients. They're not our food pantry recipients. They're our neighbors. And so we kind of meet each other on a neighbor level, which I think gives a level of personal connection that has even allowed some of our neighbors who use the food pantry to come volunteer with us as well.
And I think it's nice too. We see them in line too. They get to know each other each month and they'll say, hey, how was your mom? You had surgery last month. I didn't get to see you. How did that go? So they're really building relationships and building that base of community that, you know, we all get so busy and we lost for a while. They're really joining those relationships again.
We have one young person. He's in elementary school. He comes every month with his mom and his grandmother. And it's like a game of tag. It's called Cheese Touch. So now he's like, I'm going to get Mr. Cook. And he'll run up. He'll sneak up behind me and go, Cheese Touch. And then I'm like, I got the Cheese Touch. So now I have to wait to try to get him next month. But there's been times now where I've been out in the community at the park and he's come up, Mr. Cook, Cheese Touch. Got it again. But it's that kind of that personal connection that I think has really been what's so radical about the Fresh Table.
Right. And you mentioned, you know, that people start to get to know one another and all of these volunteer opportunities. What about signing up to be a part of this? Explain how that process works.
Yeah.
So that people know that it's completely anonymous.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the Fresh Table, where we get, you know, where we get our food, that's a number one question that we always get. And we are in a full partnership with the Regional Food Bank. So our food comes to us through them. So to sign up for a neighbor to get some help for the month, we do have a confidential sign up that happens yearly with a check-in every time you come to the table. So the information that we get is really basic information that we're required to get to get access to some of the funds through the USDA and state programs. You know, but we also have a volunteer sign up where they can go to our website and volunteer. We also do on the spot training for volunteers. So we actually have folks who a couple times they were standing in line and then next thing you know, they're behind the table pulling up onions or peaches. Collapsing boxes.
It happens every month.
It happens every month. They just jump out of line and start helping. And then we put their name on an email list. Then we let them know when the next one's going to be. And we're a regular frequency on the third Wednesday of every month. So people know, you know, but I think there's an element of formality, but we kind of thrive within this informality, if you would. We're all about eliminating barriers.
Right. Great way to grow volunteers too, by having them actually here and seeing how this works and realizing how great it is and jumping right in.
And they learn like different things and different techniques, and they talk to each other about different foods and how to cook different foods and what to do with this. And sometimes somebody will go through line and be like, I don't know how to cook this. And then a volunteer will tell them, or somebody else in line. And so, you know, it's just this mesh of greatness that, you know, has come out of it that I didn't think that we would see ever again. And here
right.
it is.
Our second Fresh Table. So it was June 2022. We got dragon fruit and chobani yogurt. And everyone was looking at the dragon fruit. I've never seen a dragon fruit before in my life. So everyone was like, how do we cook this? And then one of the neighbors was just like, it's great in a smoothie. So next thing you know, we should have put the dragon fruit by the yogurt, because the yogurt you could put in the smoothie too. And so there was like an immediate sharing of idea of what to do with a fruit that I don't think anyone in line or anyone behind the table knew how to cook, eat, prepare. But it was like in that moment, yeah, make a smoothie.
And it was great too, because they got to try something that they would never purchase at a store, right? Because dragon fruit's expensive. They're not going to buy dragon fruit, so they got to like experience something that they hadn't gotten to try before. It was really a cool experience to watch.
So speaking of food, and we just talked about Regional Food Bank, I know some of the food is actually directly or indirectly from local farmers, some of whom are Farm Bureau members, I might add. But how does this Fresh Table situation benefit the local farmers whose food is here?
Well, as a food as a mobile pop-up food pantry that serves solely fresh produce, dairy products, and meats, we don't have anything without farmers. And you know, the funding streams from the government that we rely on are some of the same funding streams that a lot of farmers rely on, the USDA program, Nourish New York, as well as Healthy New York Food for New York Families. And you know, all these programs provide state funding to farmers to buy product that would otherwise be wasted, spilled, or not sold. So, you know, the food that we get mostly each month, you know, is through one of those three programs, or comes through a retail rescue program from one of our partner markets like Price Chopper or Market 32. So, you know, at the end of the day, none of this is possible without the farmers. And the farmers are really the ones that keep people fed. And, you know, we're keenly aware of that here at the Fresh Table. So one of the hopes that I always have is that we could do more with local farms. You know, finding ways for pantries, mobile pantries like ours or traditional food pantries, to have direct relationships with farmers, to open up, you know, open up communications so that it's easier for farmers to take their excess food and put it on a table. Because why should a farmer spend months, years even, cultivating their harvest when it's just gonna go, you know, down the drain? I'd rather see that put on someone's table. So at the end of the day, these programs help us find a home for that food, find a table to fill someone's cupboard with fresh, healthy food.
And it's really cool too, because sometimes the packaging will say, you know, it's from a farm here in New York. And so people who are receiving it get excited when they say, oh, this is from over here, I know that place, or that was really nice that they donated, or, you know, so it comes full circle at that point too. They're saying, oh, these eggs are from here, or, you know, you'll see sometimes on the boxes, it'll say like the farm on the vegetables or something, and they say they recognize those areas. And so it makes an impact that this is from other communities in New York that are helping, right?
Folks get really excited when they see New York apples on our table.
Oh, yes.
those go so quick. And even like at the time when egg prices went up to be felt like the price of filet mignon, when we had eggs at one time, it was from a New York farm, and folks were like, this is amazing. It was like, they were looking at it like it was like a backyard chicken.
But they were asking us, do you have guards for these eggs? And we put on a yellow tablecloth, the golden tablecloth. Like, people were so excited to have a dozen eggs. It really made an impact on that.
That was a time. I hope we don't go back to that.
I hope not either.
So, Kimmy, you mentioned earlier a little bit about kosher and halal and separating the food. What about a couple of things there? What about people with, like, let's say, gluten or celiac, or, you know, or people who are vegan? I would assume that's pretty easy for them to find food here since it's mostly fresh, correct?
Right. So we do keep meats are on the meat table, so they're not with the dairy, or they're not with the fruit or vegetables. So we can still respect that. So, like, chicken is not going to be on the same table usually as fruits or vegetables. We really try to make sure we have that. But we allow, like, if it might have gluten, sometimes we'll get salads or something like that. And the volunteer will just read it right on the back for them. They can ask any nutritional. We've had times where we've had salads and somebody will say, does that have almonds in it? Or does that have nuts in it? And we'll say yes. So the volunteers automatically kind of look so that they can answer that right away. Does that dressing have dairy in it? So they really take it upon themselves to, when the product comes in, to just to look at it. And I mean, a lot of us go through, we have family members with allergies. So we really try to pay attention to that.
And that's why we assign a volunteer to every table. So every table has a Fresh Table volunteer to kind of be there to kind of help answer those questions. Because there's nothing worse than being in the produce aisle at your local grocery store and trying to figure out what the nutritional label is. You know, or if you have a language barrier, or if you may not necessarily have the reading skills to be able to understand the package, you know, we do get folks who come to the Fresh Table who have those challenges, and to have a neighbor there willing to smile and answer any question that comes their way, I think it's something that really makes it accessible to folks.
So in terms of accessibility to food, which I know is big for you, what about people who have disabilities or who might have trouble with transportation getting here? Is there anything they can do?
So we actually allow what's called proxy pickups. So if someone has a disability or a transportation barrier, but they have a neighbor who or a relative, you know, someone who can make the trip to the Fresh Table, we go ahead and we actually sign them up as a proxy for that individual. You know, if we're able to find and get more volunteers to start, you know, a delivery service for seniors and individuals who have physical disabilities or limitations, you know, that's always a hope and a dream, but it takes volunteers, time and talent to make that happen, to make sure the infrastructure is in place so that it does become a true benefit to the neighbor.
And some people will reach out to us too, like even today on the Facebook Messenger us to say, hey, I can't make it, but I'm sending my neighbor. Is it okay for them to pick up for me? Absolutely, as long as they have your information, that's fine. But they will reach out to us to say, I can't make it, I'm sending somebody else. And we're like, it's perfectly fine. Neighbors helping neighbors, that's what it's all about, you know? But we also do have a lot of our students or our volunteers. If an elderly person is coming through the line and it's like a hot day like today, they'll go and take it to their vehicle for them. They'll carry the bag through the line. They'll help them. Anybody who says, can I get a little assistance? Our youth are right there. We're usually like student and they come running and they're bringing it to their cars.
And the other deliberate decision we made was to make sure that our pop-ups are located on bus lines. So, you know, we're grateful that the First National Bank of Scotia allows us to use their parking lot, both here in Scotia as well as the branch in Glenville, where the bus stop is literally just 100 yards away. It's also on the STAR transportation. So if someone does have wheelchair accessibility, they can call CDTA STAR, get transportation to come here, where then our youth volunteer is able to kind of help carry the bag through the line. Or we have some seniors who come, they park, and we bring the bag to them so that they don't have to stand in line.
And we really
thought of everything.
Yeah, and we look at like ground, like how is a wheelchair gonna get through mm-hmm. here? How is somebody with a walker gonna get through here? Can they make it onto the grass? Is it tilted too much? And even in the wintertime when we have our indoor locations, we really take that into consideration. How far is the walk from the vehicle to where we're going to be located in there? Because that makes a big difference too. And are they on the bus line?
So what would you say, aside, I know food pantries obviously need money, all nonprofits do, but aside from funds and donations, what would you say food pantries need the most?
So I think the most most important element of a food pantry is the community. They need that community support, whether it's time, treasure, or talent. So if you don't necessarily have the financial resources to support a food pantry, then consider taking your time to volunteer. But I know for us, going from a pilot program to an independent partner program at the Regional Food Bank, we're hoping in the next, you know, year or two to be able to be an independent 501c3. We also need people willing to lead forward, to come join our board, you know, help us not only, you know, fundraise so that we can get access to more food, you know, but also provide the leadership that we need to thrive and grow and start new programs, whether that be making sure we have more recipe cards out on the table so folks know how to cook the food they're getting, or, you know, becoming a neighbor navigator and helping folks who may need additional assistance beyond what they're getting from us, or need help navigating the process of applying for SNAP or WIC or other government assistance programs. So, you know, there's many ways. Time, talent, and treasure are what we need the most.
And those volunteers are very important too, because we may think that this is working great, but times change, right? And, you know, our surveys will tell us different things that people need, but it's that new vision that the volunteers bring when they're joining boards for the food pantries. It's important to have that new fresh look from a different lens.
Exactly. So aside from all the things you just mentioned, how can people right now today help? What is the best way to get started to help?
So I think the first way is go to our website, freshtable.org, and decide whether or not you want to make a contribution or contribute your time. If you want to contribute your time, you can fill out the volunteer form. That'll let us know that you want to be added to our volunteer list. Follow us on Facebook. We're really active on Facebook, and you can also message Kim and I, as well as some other volunteers through there.
We just started an Instagram account this week, too.
We are starting an Instagram account. We have a volunteer with us through the Empire State Service Corps program. She's been with us all summer, working part-time, helping us to kind of establish our neighbor navigation program, but also understand Instagram. Team Facebook
we're
generation.
Now.
The other element is, if you want to make a contribution, you know, oftentimes giving a monetary donation right now for us through the regional food bank allows us to get access to food for 16 cents per pound. So rather than donate a bunch of food you bought from a grocery store, you know, we're able to let that dollar go farther through our relationship to acquire food through the regional food bank. So filling that balance will help us kind of supplement what we get through those other programs.
Which is great, because sometimes there are things that we're like, oh, we would love to offer this at the table, and we wouldn't be able to do that if we didn't have donations made for us to purchase through the regional food bank for that.
So we need to go to freshtable.org.
Freshtable.org.
Fill out the forms.
Fill out the forms, and our partner identification number is right on the website as well. So when you go through the regional food bank website and place money on our account, you use that partner identification form.
Yep.
Excellent advice. Well, Justin, Kimmy, it was so nice to meet you both, and thank you so much.
Oh,
nice
thank you
to
for
meet
having
you
us.
As
we
well,
appreciate
and,
it.
And thank you for everything you do to support farmers that help keep our table stock.
Of course. Thank you.
Farmers, businesses, and rural communities are stronger together. Join New York Farm Bureau and be part of the voice that protects and supports agriculture across the state. Get access to valuable benefits, advocate for policies that matter, and connect with a network of farmers just like you. Visit nyfb.org, reach out to your local county farm bureau, or call 1-800-342-4143 and press 0. That's 1-800-342-4143 and press 0 and join today.